"You foolish Galatians, who bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard, faith? Are you living in submission to His will, or are you trying to avoid that by instead being a good lawkeeper? It's much easier to try to observe a bunch of rules and feign righteousness with God and with yourself than it is to humbly submit and walk by the Spirit. Debbie, you'll feel so good. You'll feel like, wow, I'm doing these things. Like people who observe the Sabbath and they feel so good, like they're doing something and they get this peace from doing it. It is a counterfeit. It's no different than the Hindus I met when I lived in India who get the peace from going to the Hindu temple. It's absolutely no different. It's a counterfeit. It is false. But here's how you will know that it's false. Hi, this is Michael. I made this message for a lady who sent me a series of comments on YouTube where she, I believe, very sincerely feels that I have been in tremendous error. After reading a few comments to other people, such as, "Michael has been corrected by many witnesses and refuses to seek truth because the spirit of deception is what is leading him. I pray he ceases leading believers in grave error because it's too late. It's a warning that he will find out will cost him dearly, and he will stand before the Most High and give account for his false teaching. When a person refuses correction according to the instructions of YHWH, a common acronym used by Torah observant Jews to refer to Yahweh or God, quote, I am reminded not to throw pearls before swine. I feel many have tried to reason with him to no avail. The Father will deal with Michael, but I know those of us who have been given the truth grieve because we know how much this grieves the heart of our Father and Savior. The one acting unjustly will continue to act unjustly. Revelation 22:11. Shalom. I replied to this woman's email warning her of the sin of blaspheming the Holy Spirit, which is where a person assigns or attributes evil to the work of the Holy Spirit in another person's life. For example, this is exactly what the Pharisees said of Jesus in Mark 3:29 when they said that he was casting out devils by the power of Beelzebub. In response to my email to her, she wrote back the following. To clarify, Michael, I am not an SDA, Seventh-day Adventist. What I said was, quote, deceptive spirit is leading you, as leading you in error in proper understanding and interpretation of Yah's holy and unchanging word. The Holy Spirit would never lead YHWH's people to say a commandment of Yah was done away or no longer applies. It was never spoken by Yeshua and never taught by Paul. As I mentioned, Michael, it grieves the Holy Spirit to hear a professed believer say this, let alone lead followers into this grave sin and error. If you truly have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, then you will accept correction by many on here who are concerned about your teaching this grave error and seek truth in prayer and in his word, which never changes. You see, Satan seeks to steal, kill, and destroy by robbing believers of truth such as this. I would be more than happy, Michael, to send you a teaching regarding this from a well-respected Israelite teacher who knows Torah and the whole Bible very well. He would be happy to help you in the misunderstanding you have been led to believe. It is crucial that you understand the very truth of this issue. I do know what blasphemy of the Ruach is versus testing all spirits by the very word of YAWH. And having done so, you have been found having been deceived by a deceptive spirit. We are trying to help you, Michael. It is pride which is a deadly sin and disables a man to become humble and open to receiving correction. Unless we come to the Father as little children, we are unable to enter the kingdom of heaven. Be humble and teachable, Michael, always ready to receive correction. I truly and sincerely would be happy to send you a teaching and info to follow up with this teacher. Shalom. After reading Debbie's comments, I felt she was sincere, that she believed indeed she is in possession of the truth and that I am walking in error and now deceiving other people. I didn't sense that she was a naysayer or a troll or simply trying to be disagreeable, but that she really did sincerely want to help me. So I made the following recorded message to her, and I'm going to share it publicly because I'm very concerned about people like Debbie who've been taken captive and are now leading other people astray with this new Torah observant Christianity. It's kind of like the new thing that's happening everywhere. It's becoming almost fashionable in Christianity. I'm receiving more and more comments and more emails where Christians are speaking and talking like Jews. Now, if you notice already, she's convinced I need to be introduced to an Israelite teacher who knows the whole Bible. My friend, do you know how many people there were surrounding Jesus who knew the whole Bible, who wanted to give Jesus the better understanding that he needed, just like she thinks I need from this Jewish person, an Israelite who knows the whole Bible? We have to remember, just because you know the Bible does not mean you know God. Nobody knew the Bible better than the Pharisees, and they were the farthest away from the kingdom of God. And when they made a convert, Jesus Christ said he made them twice as much of a son of hell as they were. This is what I want to warn people of. It's entirely possible to know all the law and to know all the scriptures and to know all of the Torah and to know the whole Bible and still not know God. Now, you have to know the Bible in order to know God, but there are a whole lot more people that know the Bible that don't know God. That's what the essence of my ministry is about. 19 years of knowing the Bible without knowing God, living ignorant and foolish. Now, I just want to throw in one disclaimer here. You know, sometimes I get very passionate, and I felt led to be very zealous and to make what sounds like a very arrogant plea to this lady and to others listening. It's not arrogant. Please understand my motive, okay? It's not spiritual pride. My boast is only in the Lord. You should never think that anything I have or in possession of came from me, but only the Spirit of Christ in me, okay? Just remember, it probably seemed arrogant. It probably seemed spiritually self-righteous when Jesus Christ walked into the temple and flipped over the change tables and made a court of whips and started driving out the animals and called the place a den of robbers. It probably seemed self-righteous and spiritually arrogant when Stephen looked at the teachers of the law and all the Jews and said, "You stiff-necked people, you always resist the Holy Spirit." It probably looked spiritually arrogant when Paul stood up and confronted Peter to his face in front of everybody about his hypocrisy from disassociating with the Gentiles when the Jews showed up. My friend, I want you to be safe to know this. My motive and my zeal burns for God's truth to be made full in the lives and hearts of other people. That's what my motive is. When I say things like this, it is simply to shake up the false ground that so many people are standing on in hopes that just a few people who have ears to hear will hear and turn away from deception and turn to the truth. So when you think about this message, it's always important to remember the principle, you shall know a tree by its fruit. Debbie thinks that she's right and I'm wrong. I think Debbie is wrong and I'm right. The Pharisees thought they were right and Jesus was wrong. Jesus knew that he was right and they were wrong. But how did Jesus teach us to discern who really is in possession of the truth? It always came back to this one principle. You shall know a tree by its fruit, not by its knowledge, not by its seminary degree, not by its assessment of the entire Bible, not by any of these things that men consider to be things worthy of saying, "I know God," but you shall know a tree by its fruit. May God bless you as you listen, and let him who has ears to hear, hear. Hello, Debbie, this is Michael. I can see in your comments and that you really believe what you believe, and you're really hoping that I will receive this correction. I want to just point out to you that suggesting I'm not willing to receive correction is to say that my entire testimony is a lie. Perhaps this is the only message that you've heard of mine about the Sunday thing and the keeping of the law, because that's what you're so passionate about. But if you'll listen to some of my other 300 videos, in the majority of them, I speak about how for the first 19 years of my life, I believed all these things about Christianity that turned out not to be true. And a great part of my testimony is about how much correction I've had to receive, probably more than most, Debbie, which is why your comment really just doesn't make any sense. I speak over and over again about how foolish I was, about how much I had to unlearn, about how much correction I had to receive from the Father to relearn Christianity to begin with. So when you suggest that I'm not humble because I don't receive correction, it's just not true. I don't receive correction from people like you who are convinced that you're right. How do you know you're right, sister? You shall know a tree by its fruit. Did Jesus Christ receive correction from the Pharisees when they said he had a devil in him? I mean, did Paul receive correction from King Agrippa when Agrippa says, you're out of your mind, you're nuts? Did Paul receive correction when the Galatians were arguing against him? So did Stephen receive correction when he's yelling at the teachers of the law and the Israelites about them being stiff-necked and always resisting the Holy Spirit? Do you receive correction in error? No, you do not. And sister, I want to point out to you, the thing where you and I are separated on, sister, is you've bought into this Torah observant Christianity. I see in your message that you've gone and you're teaching somebody who, quote, knows the Torah. Well, guess what? A Gentile does not follow the Torah. They never have been under the law of Moses. It's a mute point. When I read the law of Moses, I am delighted to see what Jesus Christ did for me in Christ and the freedom I have. The Bible says where the freedom of the Spirit of Christ is, there is liberty, freedom. Sister, you've been led astray and put back into bondage under the law. And listen, you don't have to take my word for it. Look at the fruit in your heart. After you walk this out for a couple of years, you will never find the peace and the rest and the joy and the power and the personal relationship with God. You'll never find that Matthew 5:20 internal righteousness that must surpass the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, or you will never enter the kingdom of God. You'll not find that abundance of answered prayers and where you're walking in submission to God's will, because instead you're walking in submission to the law. I don't understand how you don't see it. I want to say to you the words of Jesus. Are you still so dull of understanding that you don't understand that Jesus Christ fulfilled the moral requirements of the Ten Commandments and all of the laws, for that example? Debbie, in the Old Covenant, there was no Spirit. You have to understand this. You keep reaching back to the shadow and you're missing the reality. Paul taught this very clearly. Those things were a shadow. Christ is the reality. Jesus says in Matthew 5:20, don't suppose that I've come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. It takes a spiritual man to understand exactly what Jesus Christ meant by that. He's not coming to say, hey, I'm coming as a sheriff to police and make sure you understand that you have to continue personally to dot every I and cross every T. No, this is where people who do not have or who are not walking by the Spirit get led astray. Watch this. When you look at the Ten Commandments, and you see honor your mother and father, and you see do not lie, do not steal, when you see do not murder, when you see do not covet, ask yourself this question, Debbie. Does Jesus Christ obey the Ten Commandments and live in obedience to them? The Ten Commandments, the moral requirements of the Ten Commandments. Does he fulfill those by intentionally trying to obey them? Or isn't it true that Jesus fulfills them because it is in his nature not to do those things? It is in a child's nature and a dog's nature to live according to his own will and to do wrong. A dog needs rules. Sit, stay, get down, heel. A child has to be told, don't do this, do this, don't do that, do that. The reason is because they do not have any self-control and they do not have anything but flesh and a sinful nature. It is in their nature to do wrong. That is why we have a Paul who speaks in Romans 7. The good I wanted to do, I could not do. The bad I did not want to do, that I kept on doing. Why is that? He does not have, in Romans 7, a new nature. He has a desire for God's law. He has a delight for God's law, but he cannot keep it because it's in his nature to break the law. In fact, he says the law even deceived him. The very thing that he was supposed to get life from by keeping the commandments brought death. It deceived him, okay? There is no spirit in Romans 7. Go read it. In Romans 8, the person who set him free from the wretched man that he was, that set him free from the law of sin and death, is the law of the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit lives in you, Debbie, this is what you're missing, sister. When the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, you do not have to, as you yield to him, you do not have to say, I have to obey the Ten Commandments. I have to not cheat. I have to not steal. Sister, if you're doing that, you're not a true Christian. It should be in your nature. Nobody has to tell me to forgive somebody. It's in my nature now, the part of me that is filled with the Holy Spirit. All I have to do is yield to him. All I have to do is humbly submit to the nature in me that is like God. If I have a nature in me that is like God, does that nature, as I yield to it, constantly fret over keeping and observing and remembering all the laws? No. God does not follow the law in order to be righteous. God is righteous. The law was created for man so that the trespasses would increase. And the Bible says no man will be justified by observing the law. How in the world do you think you're going to be made just by God by trying to obey the commandments? The Bible says if you've broken one, you've broken all of them. Have you ever been angry at somebody, Debbie? Then you have murdered somebody according to Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 5. Do you see? You're never going to be able to be justified by observing the law. And you want to come and call me a false teacher, but watch this. You shall know a tree by its fruit. A true follower of Christ does not lie, does not cheat, does not steal, does not murder, even get angry in their heart. And if they do, it's a mere stumble. They hate the sin. They immediately repent of it. They can no longer live in it. 1 John 3, 6-10. There's no way they can continue to practice it. And they don't continue to read the law and say, oh, the God's word said, I can't do that. I can't do this. No, it actually happens internally. It happens internally. It's internal righteousness in the new covenant. The law has been written on their hearts and their minds. Romans chapter 1. If you're having to go back to the Torah to try to observe it, sister, you've been taken captive. I cannot recommend enough that you read slowly and daily the book of Galatians and you humble yourself as a child and ask God to show you the truth. It is amazing to me that you think I'm the one that's deceived when I'm the one who spent years when nobody was looking, Debbie, humbling myself as a baby before Father. Father, please don't let me be deceived. Oh, Abba, please teach me the truth. Men have led you astray. You're like many of this growing phenomenon where Christians are so tired of the dead hyper-grace they've seen in church. And what you're doing is, instead of humbly submitting yourself to God and finding holiness through submission to his Spirit in obedience to the teachings of Christ, you're dipping back to another religion called Torah observant Christianity. You're going back to try to be justified by the law. You're turning away, as Galatians says, you're turning away from grace. Christ will be of no use to you. You're turning back to the law. And it will never produce in you the kind of righteousness, Debbie, that you need in order to go to heaven. It will never produce in your heart. For a time it will. Debbie, you'll feel so good. You'll feel like, wow, I'm doing these things. Like people who observe the Sabbath and they feel so good, like they're doing something and they get this peace from doing it. It is a counterfeit. It's no different than the Hindus I met when I lived in India who get the peace from going to the Hindu temple. It's absolutely no different. It's a counterfeit. It is false. But here's how you will know that it's false. It will never produce in your heart true righteousness. Debbie, there will be things in your life that you will try so desperately to put down through the law that you will not be able to. There'll be those issues of unforgiveness. There'll be those issues of resentment. There'll be those issues of being offended so easily by others. There will be issues of fear. There will be issues of doubt in your life with God. You're not going to have this interactive relationship with God where you will know that God is speaking to you and then you'll obey His words. It will cost you something dearly. You will get lost in the counterfeit of thinking a relationship with God is in observing the Torah rather than walking by the Spirit. I just want to ask you, have you read Romans chapter 8? There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, not for those who are in the law of Jesus Christ. Colossians, it speaks so clearly. He abolished all of the written code that stood against us. It is absolutely foolish what you guys are doing, trying to go back and find righteousness, observing the dead letter. The letter brings death. The Spirit brings life. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit set me free from the law of sin and death. Do you know what the law of sin and death is? The law of Moses, the Torah. That's what you're going to find when you go back to that. Sin and death. And let me tell you what's going to happen. When you go and you try to observe the law, you're going to become self-righteous. It's absolute guaranteed. Mark my words, keep this message and maybe God will humble you enough one day when you find yourself looking down on other people who aren't quite as righteous as you are because you are observing the law and they are not. Let me tell you, that's a straight path to hell. It's a straight path to becoming a Pharisee, looking down on others because you're so confident of your self-righteousness. It's going to lead to bitterness, okay? It's going to lead to you running around trying to get other people in bondage to the law that you are under, Debbie. And I will not give in to you or to your Torah observant Christianity, which doesn't exist, for 1 minute. And I will teach with everything I have those that have ears to hear, to find their faith and peace and truth and rest and freedom in Jesus Christ and by obedience to Him through His words and by His Spirit, not by the law of Moses. The law came through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. For what the law was powerless to do and that it was weakened by the sinful nature. You're going back to what is powerless, the law. What it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son, not the law again. The law had already been given. You're going back to what came first instead of the new covenant. You're going back to the old wine. Isn't it true? Jesus warned about this when He said, no one in Luke, no one after drinking the old wine wants the new, for He says the old is better. Debbie, aren't you saying that the old wine is better than the new? Yes, you are. God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering, and so He condemned sin in sinful man. He puts it to death by giving you a power that is now greater than the sin, the power of the Spirit. Now, He did this in order that the righteous requirements of the law, okay? The law's requirements are righteous. He did it so that they might be fully met in us. What does that mean, Debbie? It means they were never met apart from Jesus Christ and His Spirit. You cannot observe the law and fulfill its righteous requirements. The only people that can do this are those who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled not by the law of Moses, but by the Spirit is life and peace. Thank you, Jesus. It's true peace, not counterfeit peace, Debbie. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. You'll find yourself failing. You might be able to observe special days. And see, this is a counterfeit. You're going to believe that you're righteous with God because you're observing a ridiculous special day or multiple special days, or you're abstaining from certain foods or eating certain foods, or you're making special observances. You're following an external righteousness and you're missing that Jesus said in Matthew 5:20, unless your righteousness surpasses the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. And by the way, they obeyed the law better than you did. You can be guaranteed they knew it better than these contemporary teachers of the law did, and they held fast to it better than anybody is today. And Jesus is saying they cannot make it. Why? Because now God demands, and he's not just speaking of the Pharisees who were hypocrites. He's speaking of all men here in Romans 8, that cannot fulfill the righteous requirements of the law by obeying and observing the law, because observing the law is external. It cannot change your heart. You will know this by the fruit that's in your heart. Okay, you watch. Watch what happens in your heart and how you think towards other people that aren't quite as righteous as you are by observing the law. That's a terrible sin, Debbie. It's a terrible sin. Okay, watch. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the law of Moses? No, by the Spirit. If, Debbie, the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. And even if you do have the Spirit of Christ, Debbie, and just like Paul warned in Galatians, you turn back to the law because somebody has come in and spied on your freedom, these Torah observant Christians, it's not even such a thing. They've spied on your freedom. They've taken you captive to make you a follower after them. You have now turned away and been alienated, just as Paul said, from the grace of Jesus Christ, and he is no longer of use to you. This is the truth, what I'm telling you. This is the truth. But if Christ is in you, if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. Yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Whose righteousness? The law of Moses, or because of the Spirit of Christ? It is the Spirit of Christ. He brings you newness. Okay? Verse 12. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit, Debbie, if by the Spirit, not by the law of Moses. Don't you see the difference? Go read Romans 7, law, 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 17 times. There is no mention of the Spirit in Romans 7, not one time. Come read Romans 8. Everything now is by the Spirit, not by the law. Can you see it, Debbie? Can you see it with your own eyes? Can you drink some of your own medicine and humble yourself and ask God? Don't ask me. Don't ask your Torah observant teacher. Can you ask God to teach you the truth? Can you look and measure the fruit in your heart with the internal fruit that you see me testifying to? Do you see the fruit of Christ in your life? Do you see God reproducing Jesus Christ in other people through you? Do you see more people walking in the liberty and freedom of Christ because of you? Or do you see yourself fretting, running around, trying to correct and save Christians who aren't living under the law? The Bible says in verse 14 of Romans 8, those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. And that Spirit testifies with us that we are the children of God, okay? I mean, go read Galatians, sister. Just go read the book of Galatians. You foolish Galatians, who bewitched you Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard, faith, and putting the teachings of Christ into practice? True faith in Jesus is to trust and obey Jesus. In the Old Covenant, true faith was to trust and obey the law, the Torah. There is a new covenant, Debbie, a new covenant. If there had not been any reason, anything wrong with the old, the Bible says it would have remained. But the word new implies the old is gone and has been dissolved. It no longer exists before God as a way of being righteous with Him. After Jesus came, especially in AD 70, the writing is on the wall. Not only did God stop the sacrifices, but He destroyed the entire temple where the Jews were finding all of their worship and all of their many of their righteousness requirements were being fulfilled by going to the temple, and God destroyed it. The old covenant is done, signed, sealed, delivered, and buried. And you're wanting to go back to it, and it is absolutely foolish. Okay? It is so foolish. You are under a curse, Debbie. Galatians 3:10. All who rely on the law, observing the law, are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Now, are you going to allow your Jewish, Torah observant, Christ following, whatever that is, person, to try to tell you that you can twist the meaning of Galatians, that you can believe it means something different, that you can just throw all this out? Because if you do, it's just absolute spiritual ignorance, Debbie. And I'm trying to reach out to help you see this. Only God can help you see it. I'm just asking you to take some of your own medicine. I have humbled myself. I don't have to prove that to you. What your judgment of me is means nothing. The spiritual man makes judgment about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. I'm not subject to your judgment. Sister, I'm subject to God's judgment, and so are you. And that's why I'm asking you, have you done what I have done? Have you humbled yourself before God? And like literally, do you love the truth? Have you ever had that place where with no presuppositions, you've gone and said, Lord, I want a clean slate of understanding in my heart. I want to know what the word means according to your definition, not according to my presuppositions or some other person's presuppositions or some false man teaching me. Lord, I want to know. Don't you know that in 1 John 2:27, it says, if the Spirit of God is in you, you've received an anointing. And that anointing is real, not counterfeit. And just as He has taught you all things, you don't need anybody to teach you anything. He'll teach you and lead you into all truth. That's the Holy Spirit. You can listen to men, but the only person that can give you understanding is God. So Debbie, have you humbled yourself like I have when nobody's around? I mean, I can say this boast before heaven. Can you? I can boast before heaven that over the last 8 years, and no angel can show up right now and tell me that I'm lying. Hundreds of times, perhaps, Debbie, hundreds of times, heaven has heard these words come out of my mouth when nobody else is around. Abba, please, don't let me be deceived. Lord, if you don't teach me the truth, I'll be led astray. I listened to men and they led me astray. Abba, please, I beg of you, give me insight, give me understanding. Debbie, have you done that? That's my boast before you. That I have done that. Debbie, have you walked away from the most important things in your life if God has ever asked you to do so for the sake of obeying Jesus? Are you a woman who has lost your life to find it? Have you submitted your spirit and your heart to God such that you're doing and living and taking actions in your life that are dictated by His Spirit? Are you living in submission to His will, or are you trying to avoid that by instead being a good lawkeeper? It's much easier to try to observe a bunch of rules and feign righteousness with God and with yourself than it is to humbly submit and walk by the Spirit. Galatians 5:25, Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Debbie, do you know how many difficult things the Spirit of Christ will ask you to do if He takes over full possession of you? He'll ask you to lose friendships. He'll ask you to lose people. He'll ask you to lose habits. He'll ask you to lose goals. He'll ask you to lose dreams. He'll ask you to put down and lose your honor. He'll ask you to lose your dignity. You'll suffer as Jesus Christ suffered. Was it the law of Moses that led Jesus Christ into the desert? Or was it the Spirit of God? The Spirit of God will lead you to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:29, it's been granted to you on behalf of Jesus Christ, not only to believe on Him, but to suffer for Him. Did you know that Romans 8:17 says that you're only an heir of God, and you're only a co-heir with Christ, and you're only going to share in the glory of Christ at the resurrection if you have shared in His sufferings? Did you know Jesus Christ said that no servant is greater than his master? Are you living in humble submission to the Spirit of God? And has God moved you to do things that are very costly and that don't make sense to anybody around you, with the exception of observing the Torah? Because that does not make any sense at all whatsoever to me, and I have the Spirit of Christ in me. I think it's an absolute foolish thing that you're doing. Okay, I speak to you the exact words by the same Spirit that was in Paul who spoke those words to the Galatians. It is a very foolish thing to do what you're doing. It is a deception. It's much harder to follow the Spirit of Christ. And when God says to you, go here, go there, stay put, sit, wait, and you suffer yourself to obey the Spirit, not just in being good in your behavior, but actually submitting yourself to do God's will. You know, 1 John 2:17, it says, the world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Are you, Debbie, doing the will of God, or are you simply doing the law of Moses? The law of Moses is dead. The letter brings death. The letter killeth, but the Spirit brings life. When you live by the Spirit of God, not only is He able to move you in a personal relationship, not only is He able to move you into the work that He has for you and to give you guidance about His plan and mission for your life, but He fulfills all those good requirements of the old covenant law by His Spirit. Why? Because He tries so hard to do so? No, because it is in His nature to do it. When Jesus Christ said, abide or remain in my love, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remained in His love. What were His Father's commands? To observe special days, to eat certain foods, to observe the Sabbath, to observe the law of Moses? Absolutely not. The commands He speaks of is going where Jesus was told to go, doing the works that His Father told Him to do. When Jesus was called, He went. When He stopped, He stayed. He obeyed all of His Father's commands. The Lord did not have to ever once command Jesus, do not steal, do not lie, do not covet, do not bear false witness, do not murder, to honor your mother and father. No, God never once had to ask Jesus to obey those commands. Jesus will never tell us, I obeyed my Father's commands just as they were written in the Ten Commandments. No, you know why? Jesus is God. He is the Holy Spirit. He was the Holy Spirit in flesh. He is the nature of God, who being in very nature God, the Bible says in Philippians. Okay? He who has seen me has seen the Father. Does God obey the Ten Commandments because He tries? Do you know how absolutely horrendously heretical and what blasphemy it would be to say that Jesus was only righteous because He obeyed the law of Moses? No, do you know that's why Jesus intentionally came around and intentionally did work. What was the Sabbath rule? Do not do any work on the Sabbath. Why? Because God originally rested on the Sabbath day, right? But what did Jesus say in the new covenant? When they all said to him, you're a lawbreaker, you don't keep the law. Jesus intentionally did works on the Sabbath. But wait a second, he is a lawbreaker then, because it says God rested from all his work. Was not all of God's work good? It's not like he rested from secular work on the seventh day. Everything God did was good, but he still rested. So when God calls Israel to rest on the seventh day, because God rested, that was a good thing to do. Well, then why does Jesus show up and start doing work? Is he not disobeying what his father did? God did good works 6 days and rested on the seventh. God said it was a bad thing to do any kind of work on the seventh day. Who was doing work on the seventh day throughout all of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Gospel? Who chose to do their biggest miracles intentionally in front of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law on the Sabbath? Jesus Christ. If the commandment of the Sabbath is do not work on the Sabbath, and Jesus comes along and does work on the Sabbath, what is Jesus doing? Is he a lawbreaker? Yes or no? Yes, he is. He's breaking that law. What does that mean? He's a rebel? He's a lawbreaker? He's no longer good with God? No. So what else must be true? Something new has changed. What is that something new? It starts with the very first words out of John the Baptist's mouth and the very first words out of Jesus Christ's mouth. Repent and believe the good news, for the kingdom of God is near. There is no kingdom of God ever mentioned in the Old Covenant. There is no mention of the kingdom of heaven. There is something new. What does the Bible say, Debbie? The law and the prophets were preached until who? Until John the Baptist. What does it say about John the Baptist's birth? He was filled with the Spirit of God from birth. He is the beginning of the new covenant. The kingdom of God has come and it came inside. Jesus said, do not go looking around where the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is within you. Wherever the Spirit of God is and has dominion, that is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is a spiritual place of which we cannot understand, we cannot perceive. We shall arrive there by faith when the time is ready. But we can enter in and possess the kingdom of God now. The kingdom of God is not just the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of heaven, and all of the earth where the Spirit of God has dominion is the kingdom of God. If the Spirit of Christ is in you, the kingdom of God is in you. There is no such thing in the Old Covenant. Zero. There's so few places where you can even find spirit in. It's always spirit upon. There's only a few instances in the Old Covenant where God seems to have been pleased to put his spirit inside, because John said the spirit of as of yet had not been given. John chapter 7. Because Jesus had not been taken up. When Jesus is taken up, there we have the finality of the new covenant. We now have God dwelling with men on earth by his spirit. The kingdom of God is now with men inside of men. You see this? If God is living inside of you and you're living according to his spirit, do you honestly have to go back and observe a bunch of rules like a dog or a child who have to be told what not to do? Or when to do this and when not to do this? To be threatened with punishment for doing these things? Not at all, sister. If you have that, you do not have Jesus Christ. To say that you are a Christ follower and Jesus is in you, and that the Spirit of Christ in you does not know how to be righteous without you going back and intentionally trying to follow a bunch of rules, is one of the most blasphemous things I could possibly think of. It is to say that God is unholy. It is to say that he is inept. It is to say that he is weak. And it is to say he is like men. Do you realize that's what you're saying? You're saying the Spirit of Christ in me is not enough. To live by the Spirit of Christ is not enough. Christ's righteousness, he died for nothing. His work on the cross, his shedding of the blood, it was all worthless because I must go back and obey the Sabbath. Wake up, Debbie. Wake up. That is absolute foolishness that you're talking about. Ask God to open your eyes to see the truth so you can be free to live up and beyond the righteousness of the law. You can live it from your heart. You can live in love. You can get to a place where you stop looking outside for that which is inside, Christ Jesus in you. Don't you see that Jesus Christ did not come to teach people to observe the law? He only spoke to Israelites about keeping the Ten Commandments because that was true for them until he died. And some people believe that for Jews it was always that way. But it's clearly not, because Paul teaches a big difference between Romans 7 and Romans 8. And he even teaches things like, listen, if you allow yourself to be circumcised, Christ will be of absolutely no use to you. Are you made righteous by observing the law? No. So it becomes clear that even as a Jew, although he tolerated many Jews still observing parts of the law and so forth and so on, eventually all of that law stuff goes away. And I believe particularly it's AD 70 that it's absolutely done. There is no more temple. There is no more place to sacrifice. There is no more place for you to go worship. What did Jesus Christ tell the woman at the well in John 4? We Jews know who we worship because salvation comes from the Jews. He says the time is coming when the true worshipers of God, the true worshipers of God, will worship God in spirit and in truth. He's saying they'll no longer go to a temple. They will worship him in spirit, not in proximity, not in some external law or some external place. They will now worship him by spirit and by truth. Sister, I worship God, hallelujah, praise his holy name, every single day by spirit. Just use human reasoning. Use a human argument. Are you able to think that God could do in my life what he's doing in my life? Changing the lives of thousands of people through somebody who is an intentional lawbreaker, deceiver, and who's actually going out teaching other people to break his laws and commands? Now look, Joel Osteen might think he's making a difference in a bunch of people's lives, and he is. He's making a difference in a bunch of people's lives. Probably a whole lot more. I mean, by the millions more than Michael Criswell. What I have is just a tiny little thing compared to Joel Osteen, right? So he's making a difference for, quote, God. But you shall know a tree by its fruit. A true follower of Christ is not interested in their best life now. A true follower of Christ is not looking for every day to be Friday. A true follower of Christ does not read through the words of God, finding all of the promises and then using this kind of religious self-talk, claiming, naming, and claiming all the promises at the negating of the harder words of obedience and commands of Jesus Christ. A true follower of Christ no longer desires to have a kingdom down here for themselves. They no longer are interested in materialism. They're no longer interested. They abhor. They learn to abhor the things of this life. A true follower of Christ has victory over the flesh and victory over this world. So while he's producing results, you shall know a tree by its fruit. What kind of fruit is being produced through my tree? Have you heard the testimonies? Have you read some of the comments of people walking away from dead relationships? Have you read the testimonies of 13 and 14-year-old kids who have walked away from sin and who are wanting to find Jesus Christ with all their heart? Have you heard the testimonies of people like Kim Jong Curtis who are sitting in an RV getting ready to pull the trigger on the gun? And when they pull the trigger, their eyes are still open, the gun's on the ground, and when they come to, they hear me in a video talking about suicide. And the next thing you know, they're filled with the Spirit of Christ and living for Jesus Christ alone, no longer feeling sorry for themselves. Have you heard the testimonies of people forgiving the unforgivable in the lives of other people of things that have been done to them? Have you heard the testimonies of people taking up their cross, learning to suffer and desiring to lose their life in order to find it, to love God like they never have before? How in the world, Debbie, are you able to, in your mind and in your darkened understanding, able to reconcile the fruit that God is producing in my life first? I mean, have you seen a 777-day divorce, a dollar a month alimony, somebody who prays for years for the person who did the worst kind of evil you could possibly imagine and still loves that person and forgives them? Do you know somebody like me who's been over 4 years without seeing your children and has been called the devil and every kind of possible name you can think of, told this about the children, who still loves and still is filled with the fruit and spirit of Jesus Christ and spends all of his time not caring about himself but helping other people? Have you seen people be willing to be called mentally insane by his own parents, willing to live homeless, willing to take, say, no to a $150,000 job and tens of thousands of dollars in order to obey the words of Jesus Christ and to suffer like I've suffered? Debbie, has your faith cost you as much as my faith has cost me? Or are you just all happy because you want to obey and observe the law of Moses and you think that that makes you better than me? That makes you better than all the rest of us who don't go and observe all the teachings of Jesus Christ. Debbie, you're absolutely 100% deceived and you're darkened in your understanding. And if you ever had light, you were absolutely foolish to turn away from the light of Christ back to the law of Moses, back to the shadow, when the reality is found in Jesus Christ. Sister, if this has all been done in ignorance, God will have mercy upon you. My whole life is about 19 years of ignorance that I lived in. I believed I understood God. I believed I knew there was I knew everything there was to know about Jesus Christ. I was stubborn, I was blind, and I was ignorant. And God had mercy upon me. Debbie, God will have mercy upon you. If you have done this in ignorance, God will have mercy. Come back to the Holy Spirit. Come back to the teachings of Jesus Christ, not the teachings of Moses. Moses died and never came out of that grave on this earth. Jesus died and came out of that grave to show he was God. The Bible says now one greater than Moses has come, and that his covenant, he was so much of a better mediator and had so much of a better covenant than what Moses brought us. It's filled with greater promises and greater blessings. Turn away from Moses and turn to Jesus Christ. The most humble, pleasing man that ever lived on this earth was not Moses. It was Jesus Christ. It was Moses until Jesus came. The law came through Moses, but grace and truth came from Jesus. It's time to turn back to Jesus and to his Spirit, and you can only do this in faith. The devil who has deceived you, you've been taken captive and deceived. He'll do everything he can to confuse your mind and tell you it cannot be this easy just walking by faith. It cannot be just this easy that Jesus died and I'm saved by grace through faith alone. No, I have to do something else. That is an absolute lie. And the only way you'll find the truth is to resist that lie, to deny yourself, to deny your flesh, to resist that, and to step in faith and believe God can give you true righteousness through his Spirit by faith alone. You cannot earn it. When Jesus Christ came into me by his Spirit, I then naturally uphold his commands because I desire to do so. I sought after him, but now as I've learned them, I no longer have to continually read the teachings of Christ to make sure, oh, I got to make sure I obey that. I got to make sure I remember when I go to a meeting to take the seat in the back, not the seat up front. No, you know why? The Spirit of Christ in me, that nature automatically does those things. The Spirit in me automatically causes me to forgive other people as I yield to him. The Spirit in me automatically causes me to no longer desire the things of the world, to no longer return wrong for wrong when people call me a charlatan, when people call me a devil, a deceiver, a heretic. I don't return wrong for wrong. I simply share the truth with these people. I don't hate them. I pray for them. I do good to them. Is that because I'm observing the commands to do so? No. The nature of Jesus Christ in me naturally wants me to do that. I don't serve money. I serve God. Why? Because I read Matthew 6:24 in everyday practice. I have to make sure today I don't serve money, but I serve God. No. That's living by the letter, and the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The nature of Jesus Christ, the newness of life in me, hallelujah, praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The newness of life in me, Debbie, is how I fulfill living according to the law. And friends and family members that have all seen me walk this out and live this, because remember, even Jesus said, if I testify on my behalf, only my testimony is worth nothing. But I have somebody who testifies on my behalf. He had John the Baptist and the Father. and the Father has testified on my behalf. That's what my boast is. My boast right now that sounds so arrogant is not my boast in anything I have done, Debbie. I'm not better than anybody, but I am way better off than many people that don't obey Jesus Christ, that aren't filled with His Spirit like this. My boast is in the Lord. Everything I said and everything I can testify to has been done by the Spirit of God. I boast and say the same thing Jesus did when Jesus said, "Who can accuse me or show I am guilty of sin?" Doesn't that sound arrogant for Jesus Christ to say that? You know what? Paul said the exact same thing. He said, "You remember how I lived with you. You saw how I lived." Paul boasts in his holiness. Is he boasting in his own holiness? No, he's boasting in the holiness that he has through Jesus Christ. He boasted in his suffering. He did the same thing to his betrayers and detractors that I'm doing right now to you. I'm pulling the rug out from underneath of the false ground you're standing on. And Paul said, "No one will stop this boasting of mine. I will continue to cut the ground out from underneath of their feet, those who want to be equal with me." And I'm going to tell you the same thing. If the Spirit of Christ has been at work in me as I testify to the world it has been, and if there's nobody that can prove it hasn't, then I'm going to continue to boast in that Spirit in order to cut the false ground out from other people who are observing the law, observing Sabbaths, observing tithing, observing eating certain foods, who want to be considered equal with us. Those who are obeying the teachings of Christ, who are living by the Spirit, living by faith, and living, breathing relationship with Jesus Christ is our daily reality. When you believe Jesus Christ like I have, that He is your everything, and when you walk by the Spirit, did Jesus not say, "He who has faith in me will do what I have done. He will do even greater things than these," than in John 14. Did Jesus not say that? That should be all of our boast in the Lord. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Am I really of the devil? Have I really been moved by a deceiving spirit? Do you, honest to God, believe that? Or are you just having a moment of spiritual insanity? Do you believe I would plead with you like this if I was being led astray by a deceived spirit? Isn't it true that all deceived spirits have a motive to lead followers after themselves, to gain money, to gain influence? What is my motive? If I'm deceiving people, what is my motive? Am I selling a bunch of books? The best book I've written so far that people seem to be enjoying is completely free. It's not even written in a book. It's being used on YouTube videos and iTunes for free. What is my motive for all this deception? Am I trying to gain followers for myself? Well, if that was the case, then I would take up these offers that I have to fly all over the world and speak at churches in all these different countries, and I'd take a bunch of books with me and I'd sell them because you got to have my book in order to be spiritual. Which, by the way, I believe you do need to take the John 7:17 challenge, but I would plead with you not to buy it, but to do the free versions either on YouTube or on my website. To go back through the teachings of Christ, humble as a little child, I do believe you need to do that. But the only reason that book's any good is because the words of Jesus Christ in it are the foundation, not Michael Criswell's words. Michael Criswell's words were only added not so that I could have something unique and gain followers for myself, Debbie. That's not my motive. But to lead people to Jesus Christ as an example, to be like a John the Baptist, preparing a way for the Lord in the hearts of His people. Those who have ears to hear. And can you not see that you shall know a tree by its fruit? Can you not see in Luke 7 that you're doing the same thing to me that the Pharisees and teachers of the law did to John the Baptist and Jesus, accusing them of being a drunkard and a glutton, and accusing John the Baptist, who didn't eat, neither eating nor drinking, and you say he has a demon? The Son of Man comes eating and drinking, and you say he's a glutton and a drunkard and he eats with sinners. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said, "Wisdom is proved right by her actions." Jesus said the works he does testify for him. Guess what, sister? That same Jesus lives inside of me. Okay? And his works testify on my behalf. I've put myself in a position of weakness, and I was willing to be called a fool for so many years. But look at what God has done. God brings down one and he exalts another. God is the one who has exalted me. God says in his word, I will honor the one who honors me. Jesus said, my Father will honor the one who serves me. I've been serving the Lord. You mock me. I forgive you for it. But I care enough about you to reach through to try to break up this ignorance that you're standing in, believing you can go back through these Torah observant Christians. This is absolute garbage. It's nonsense. And again, let me make it really clear. The most important words, Debbie, that I've spoken to you in this whole message are about the fruit that I have in my life. You will know a tree by its fruit. You can have an appearance of fruit on the outside. Even Buddhists can look like the character of Jesus on the outside. But on the inside, they are miserable. They are so miserable that the only way for them to be able to live is to kill off all desire. They kill off all desire, even the desire for God. They are darkened in their understanding. And sister, I promise you right now, I don't know how long you've been living like this, but your understanding is darkened and you're missing God's best for you. And I plead with you to humble yourself before God and ask him. Don't ask me and don't ask your Torah observant Jewish Christian, whatever he is. Ask the Father and believe the words of God in the new covenant. There is a new covenant. The old has gone and the new has come. May God bless you with eyes to see and ears to hear in Jesus' name.